This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. It's comic book commentary.
Hello, mutants. My name is Jerry Duggan. Today we're going to, well, I'll talk Marauders and you'll listen. I'm lying in a hotel room bed in Kyoto, Japan. I don't know how this is going to sound. If you ever get a chance to travel to Japan, I highly recommend it. I think Kyoto is even more enjoyable than Tokyo. Might be my favorite new city. It is my favorite new city. Next week, Marauders comes out. It's something I've been wrenching on with Jonathan and Jordan and CB and the other Dawn of X writers for over a year. I heard one of the benefits of being in the Marvel editorial retreats is hearing you know, big news stories and seeing how you might be able to tie into them. And I was really looking forward to hearing Jonathan's story. Jordan D. White, the senior ex-editor, was my editor on Deadpool years ago with Brian and Tony and Mike and Scott Koblish, and of course Matteo Lali, who is our Marauders artist. So we're getting the band back together a little bit. Book is nothing like Deadpool. If I'm remembered for Deadpool, I will have really put Marauders into a reef and sunk it. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm super excited to talk about the first issue, but I wanted to sort of rewind a little bit and talk about the world. Powers of Ten and House of X are out now. They're completed. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I loved it just as much as you guys. It occupied a really a large amount of space in my brain was devoted to that story after hearing it. I recall Nick Spencer and I chatting after the first time that Jonathan presented his plans and going, man, that we both agreed that was the best pitch I think that I'd heard in the room. And I was super excited to play in that post House of X and Powers of Ten world. Always wanted to write the X-Men. The timing never really worked out. And I had been thinking about a pirate book. I wasn't sure if that was an idea that I would be able to exploit at Marvel or not. In fact, I really didn't think that was something that I would try to exploit at Marvel, except that all of a sudden Jonathan turned the world upside down. And all of a sudden things started to click a little bit. And, you know, I just feel like my job with Marauders is to take as many big swings as I can. Those two minis were like a real big earthquake. And I'm hoping that Marauders is a bit like the aftershocks from that world being so different now. The first story is by necessity a Kate story, formerly Kitty Pryde. I know a lot of people over the years that friends that for one reason or another have asked to be called by a name, by a new name, or an old name. That it's the simplest sort of request that you might be able to ask of someone. And I thought it was time for Kitty to sort of say, "Hey, you know what? I have another name. It's Catherine or Kate. Would you mind?" And also, that's a legacy name, right? There's a lot of cool old threads coming back anew. I'm not sure I'd read too much into the Days of Future Past of it all. I think that's prior business in the X-Men world. And the post House of X and Powers of X, Dawn of X books are all new. They are big, big swings in new directions, and boy, I love them. So with that said, why don't we jump in? I'm not going to talk about future stories. I have big plans with for these characters, all of them. It's a team book. If you got a chance to read any of my other team books, you'll know the spotlight will sometimes move very slowly across the stage to these different characters. Other times it'll give you a whiplash. But the first chapter belongs more or less to Kate and to the White Queen. And we see on the first page that we're actually not in the present. We start not long ago in Central Park with a very simple idea that Storm presents to her fellow mutants. This is what we do. We bring mutants home. And that really is on the first page. You're hearing the mission statement of the book. I know there's been a lot of people wondering how did Kate get her black eye. I have not seen this as one of the possibilities. This is one of the big secrets that we've been withholding from you guys about the book. Kate Pryde cannot use the mutant transit system. So she breaks her nose on the gateway. The mutant that can phase through anything cannot get through this door. Let's talk really quick about Matteo Lali, or not really quick. Maybe we could ruminate on him for a little while. But look at the acting there. It's just so great. Matteo is a really special artist. He can do just incredible, clean, fun action. We'll get to that. But the expressions on the face are on his faces are just priceless. He and Federico Bli are quite a team on this. So thank you both for carrying me around. And on with the show. So Kate Pryde breaks her nose on the gate, and we're off and running. The next double page spread is the title pages. I love them. Tom Muller did all the design work with Jonathan on the Dawn of X books and the logos, and He did the Mutant Jolly Roger. Wonderful design work. The next page is the first data page in Marauders. Kate having a little fun on the boat and putting a message into a bottle, apologizing for having stolen the sailboat that she's on. When I was a kid, I learned to sail, and I loved it. So this, you know, the DNA of Marauders goes way back in me. There was something really exciting and scary, but also at times peaceful on a boat. And, you know, there isn't enough pirates in comic books these days. We're bringing it back. And so Kate's message in a bottle made it unintended hands. It ended up in the Office of Naval Intelligence. Obviously, the world being upside down now, mutants have a homeland. They have leverage in the form of Krakoan medicines that can heal many human diseases and a great antibiotic. It's important, I guess, to remember one of the things that House of X and Powers of 10 did was carve up the world into yeses and nos. There are countries that accept mutant sovereignty, and then there are countries that decline it. And Marauders is very much going to exist in the world between Krakoa and those countries. And we'll get to a little bit more about that after Kate gets to Krakoa. So, and I really do like this as a beat. The mutant that can kind of slip through anything and everything has slipped through the cracks here. It would have been easy to sort of show the Blackbird drop her off on the island, but you know, with all the craziness going on in the two minis, there was not sort of time to sort Kate's travel to the island. I like that she did this on her own. It's a gift, actually. I'm pretty sure this was a note from Jordan that when we started talking about the world and the place that the White Queen and the Hellfire Trading Corporation would occupy in it, giving Kate this disadvantage would be a gift for the book, and he was absolutely right. So one of the most important characters in the book is going to be Iceman. Been excited to write him for a long time. Obviously, he and Kate have a long history. You'll notice, of course, Bobby on this page calling Kate Kitty. He either doesn't know or he just can't put it together that she would like to be called Kate now. There's Logan. Again, more wonderful acting on everyone's faces from Mateo and Blee. Logan having a hard time adjusting to the Krakoan menu. We have his shopping list as the second data page. And then we start to get into the meat of the issue. Iceman is wondering why this gate is silent or quiet, I guess I should say, and there's nobody coming through. And off he goes to investigate. He ends up in Russia. Spoiler. And that's when Emma reaches out to Kate. And here we see that this is obviously an ongoing discussion between these two. I like this moment between them where Kate is wondering if the X-Men are even capable of dropping the Kitty name in favor of her preferred Kate. And Emma has something that she would like to project into Kate's mind. And that is the ship that she's been working on. You know, Jonathan and Arby and Pepe and their collaborators, there was so much world building in those two minis, and the architect of that, really of a lot of it, in world, is the White Queen. Xavier and Magneto turned to her to sort it. She got three council seats, and she is hoping to form a voting bloc with another woman. She's being forced to work with Shaw. We know that from the minis. It's going to be a balancing act. But because the world is carved into yeses and nos, Emma is going to be the above board salesman and for the drugs to the yes countries, and the mutants are going to move the drugs into the no's via the black market, and they need Shaw's contacts for that, at least for now. The hellfire of it all is going to be this, I think, a really fun high stakes soap opera inside of a high action book about moving mutants that cannot easily access the gates, and getting them back to Krakoa. Let's see. I don't want to spoil that. Here we can see some other places that we're going to be around in later. I guess I am going back on my promise not to talk about future stories, but I mean, come on, you knew we were gonna go there. Another nice moment here. A little knife, a little kick from the White Queen to Kate, kicking her in the wardrobe. Really enjoyable. Again, killer faces. And Lockheed bringing Kate another bit of food that she has really no interest in. So we get over to Russia, and this is interesting. There's a Russian squad that is detaining mutants. How are they doing this? Well, they have some technology that dampens mutant powers, and that's going to be something that comes back around too. But here Bobby is maybe a little overconfident. An Omega level mutant should be no match for these Russian soldiers, but they've been preparing for this. So Bobby's depowered. We got Speedo Bobby. Iceman just barely makes it back through the gate. And we're off and running on our adventure. Kate's into Logan's stash. Aurora is there. Obviously, these three have a long history together. And off they go to take the long way to get those mutants out. This is a first interlude, the next page to Taipei. And here we see something a little bit more complicated. The world has been disrupted, and I hope that you're always feeling that in Marauders. So here we see a powerful woman named Madame Zhao, who is turning the press against, or attempting to turn the press and public sentiment against mutants. She is, her story is that her husband has gone and touched a gate and disappeared. And that he wasn't a mutant. And so we don't know that. Maybe that is true. We obviously see the gates are not working properly for Kate. So we have a little bit of a mystery here. And Bishop enters the story. He's been sent here to investigate this very strange story. And she wants no part of Bishop. Kicks him to the curb. This will come back around in the pages of Marauders. And then we have our pyro entrance, which I like a lot. You know, some of these characters are here from prior relationships. Some of these characters are here by luck. It's always fun to tell stories where you're getting the band together. And I think we do a lot in these first 30 pages in that regard. Love this last moment on the page between Storm and Kate and Bobby cooking up a plan together. The three of them should be able, one of them will get a hit on the armor. And again, because this is by necessity a Kate story, she takes a swing at she's the one that hits this one. Amazing action scene coming in here. You know, I feel like my job is to set up my artists fastball down the middle that they can just go and crush, and that's what Mateo does. Getting some nice color coding here. We know that Kate has been invited to be the Red Queen. And we have the first real hint of that in her scarf. Boy, that guy gets really after the strike when he's down on his knees. It really makes me laugh. Love this next page, teaching someone a lesson. Boy, I don't think I've seen Kate shoot a gun and shoot to wound. But this is. These are not nice guys. These are Russians that, it's a no country, obviously. Not every no country is necessarily as aggressive. There are going to be countries that would love to take the deal, but for political and social reasons, they can't. Kate phasing and unphasing here is great. And then phasing the gun inside their legs. They're going to feel this one, and especially after Kate, after Emma observed that everyone likes Kate because she never really gave someone an extra shot in the ribs because they deserved it. Maybe she's flexing some new muscles. The tank gag is great. Mateo crushed it. Here's our first sword. You're not going to have pirate tales without swords. And then on this next page, we have the bonus shot to the ribs. You knew that was going to come back around, right? We talk a lot about how mutants, you know, one of the great things that Jonathan's done is sort of establish circuits. You know, mutants can do amazing things by themselves, but just truly astonishing things when they work in conjunction. And obviously the greatest example of that is the five, you know, the resurrection process that really the world doesn't know about. You know, this is a mutant secret that readers are in on. And even though Lockheed is not a mutant, he is certainly a member of the team here, and watching he and Pyro work will be a lot of fun. I should mention these guys on the next page that Pyro hits are not dead. They're just singed. Of course, the first law of Krakoa is kill no man. The Marauders will be doing their best to observe all the laws of Krakoa. Like this moment here a lot. These are the first mutants that the Marauders have helped to freedom. You know, it is an underground railroad, and love this splash for obvious reasons. You know, skip over some ads. Ah, yeah. Now, really nice moment here between Kate and Storm, who have a long history, and you know, Storm. Not the White Queen's biggest fan, but after this adventure that Kate had, she's feeling a little bit better. You know, she was started the issue, you know, as a left behind or a leftover. Didn't seem like Paradise was going to be for her, but, you know, the White Queen made a convincing pitch, and with her friends, she has found a place to exist, not just exist, but to hopefully thrive in this new world. So that's Marauders One. We have another wonderful issue coming in November. We'll bring in Shaw, the Black King. We'll also do some other things that we're not going to talk about, but I think we've been pretty open that Kate becomes the Red Queen. Yet another change for her. And then the spotlight moves around, and we'll fall onto some of the other characters that are on the team, and we'll... I don't want to spoil any of those surprises. I think there are a lot of surprises in Marauders. Maybe more so than any of my other work for Marvel. You know, we keep finding new things that surprise us and that make sense to us and are very fun for us. And fun is infectious. If I have fun as a writer, the chances are the artists will think that's fun. Usually we're working in the same direction, and you know, I have such a good shorthand with Mateo that this is really clicking in a special way for us. And if we have fun, you guys have a chance to have fun. And boy, is the X-Men world fun right now. I love these books. I can't go without first talking about the covers. Russell Dauterman and Matt Wilson. Holy smokes. What a team. You know, the first issue cover is amazing, and they get better and better every time out. You know, it's really special. I'm very grateful to have those covers be the first thing that you see about Marauders. And thank you also to our editors, Jordan D. White and C.B. Cebulski, and to Annalise Bissa and Chris Robinson. They've been making these trains run on time. And it's difficult making comics. It's even harder to make great comics. And these guys have been doing that nonstop through the weeklies. You know, they were making weekly comics, which is extra difficult. And then we crashed hard into Dawn of X. And if you enjoyed this first issue, keep it on your pull list. It gets bigger and better every month. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I hope I see you in 2020. Bring some copies of Marauders. And see you out there, guys. Take care.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey, and mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.